Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand-name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. It's a pleasure to welcome back to our studios someone that's been here several times in the past, although we had a little hiatus there because of something called the pandemic last year. I don't know if people are aware that we had one of those, but if you're not, you might be wondering why you missed this gentleman. He is the music director of the Connecticut Gilbert and Sullivan Society, and his name is John Dreslin. Welcome back, John.
Thank you, Mike, and it's great to be back once again. I missed coming here last year, but as you said, we had to cancel our show last year because of the aforementioned pandemic, so it's good to be back once again.
Well, we're trying to get things back in order here, and I think we're doing pretty well with that. It's most groups are, you know, showing a glimmer of light at least and making plans. Hopefully those plans will all come to fruition. But you missed last year, as you mentioned. Did you have a plan for last year? What show was planned last year?
Well, it was the show that we are doing this year.
Oh, okay.
We just had to delay it a year.
Right.
The funny thing is the subtitle of the show is The Witch's Curse, and it almost is like we had a witch's curse on our show.
Right. But you're going to be doing that this year. It's going to take place on November 6th and 7th. And the Connecticut Gilbert and Society has been around for quite a while. As a matter of fact, John, you've been the music director, I believe, for over 25 years, right?
Yes, I've actually been music director for 31 years. And
wow.
Before that, I was accompanist. So I've actually been associated with the group for 34 of its 40th seasons. For its 40 seasons, it's been in existence. It was founded back in 1980, and we do one show a year, but last year was the first year that we weren't able to produce.
So you were the accompanist many years ago. That means you're talented. I didn't know that, because most music directors aren't really that talented.
Well, I like to think that they are.
There you go. All right, so... So let's just talk briefly about where are you located personally? What town do you live in?
I live in Stonington.
Okay.
Just down the road here, right off of Route 1, as a matter of fact. And
where does Gilbert and Sullivan Society normally perform, or do they move around?
We're happy to be back at Valley Regional High School in Deep River, Connecticut, and that is actually our favorite auditorium. It's the right size for us. The people are nice to us there, easy to get to. That's where we have been done our last four or five performances. We're very happy there.
Excellent. And you mentioned The Witch's Curse, but you didn't actually give us the title. What is the title this year?
Okay, the actual title of the show is Rudigore, which freely translated would actually mean red blood.
Oh, okay. Rudigore.
Rudigore, yes.
Okay. Yeah. And that's red blood in what language?
Well, I don't know. Ruddy is sort of red. Gore is like gory,
oh,
you know.
Okay. All right. So a little inside there.
Yep.
All right. Can Gilbert and Sullivan do a lot of that, right?
Yeah. This is actually the 10th of the 14 shows that they did together. It's the one that follows right after Mikado in the order of composition. And that got it off to a little rough start because Mikado was such a mega hit. And, you know, it's like everything else. What do you do,
do
to follow up on something that's been so popular?
Sure.
But it had a good run. I think about 288 performances, which back then was considered a good run.
And back then was about what time period?
That would have been, I think, about 1880 or so was
okay.
when it was produced. Yep.
Right. Mm-hmm. So Broadway before there was Broadway.
That's right. I always like to think that Gilbert and Sullivan are actually the ancestors of Broadway musicals.
Right. All right. Well, let's give the people, we told them it's going to be on November 6th and 7th. There's three performances, though, right?
That's correct. November 6th is Saturday, and we will be doing a matinee at 2 o'clock and an evening performance. I believe that's at 7:30. Yeah. And that'll be our only evening performance on Saturday. And then the next day, Sunday, November 7th, will be another matinee at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
All right. So.
And the interesting thing about that one was because that's the day that we're changing times. We'll be going to Eastern Standard Time.
So during the night on Saturday.
Saturday is the time change.
After the cast leaves and they're all exhausted from doing a matinee in an evening, you're going to have to wake them up on Sunday.
Yeah, well, I'm going to have to remind them to reset their clocks because I don't want them showing up late.
All right. Well, let's get to a piece of music from Gilbert and Sullivan and tell us what we're going to listen to first.
Okay. Just to get us into it, we're going to listen to a couple of selections from HMS Pinafore, which is one of Gilbert and Sullivan's most popular works. And the first thing we're going to listen to is soprano Catherine Bowden singing the aria "The Hours Creep On Apace" from our 2012 production. So this is actually our own cast doing it with our own orchestra. And just as an aside, Catherine, after she appeared with us, went on to the Metropolitan Opera and appeared there as the Queen of the Night in Mozart's The Magic Flute. So she's a good example of the type of talent that we attract for our group.
Oh,
Great voice, and you can tell it's a live recording with that applause in there. Great, great, great production work. That's very nice. Let's talk a little bit more about the show, or you have one more piece that's not from the show, right, that you wanted to play?
That's correct, yeah. Let me just tell you a little bit more about our group.
Okay.
You know, we are, all our performers are volunteers. Our orchestra is professional, and we welcome all ages to perform with us. We've got a few teenagers in this year's cast who are actually appearing as dancers. We perform with full sets, colorful costumes, lively choreography, and as I say, we're all accompanied by a professional 23-piece orchestra. And then one of the other features that we what we use is we have projected super titles. So, you know, in Gilbert and Sullivan, there's a lot of rapid singing often, and people who have slight hearing impairment or more than that are able to enjoy it well because they can actually see the lyrics as they go by. And the auditorium is climate controlled. It's handicapped accessible, and it's just a wonderful space. Of course, with the pandemic, we are going to have some restrictions. Our audience is going to have to show proof of vaccination or a negative COVID test within the last 3 days, and we're going to require masking for the audience. But other than that, we should have a good time.
Sounds like it's going to be a great time. All right. What's this next piece you have for
us? Okay, the next one is a very, very popular piece. Once again, from HMS Pinafore, it's a number called The Bell Trio, which is a very lively number and features all sorts of dancing and cavorting on the stage.
I love cavorting on stage. All right, we'll listen to that, then take a short break and be back with more of the Connecticut Gilbert and Sullivan Society.
Why and wherefore love can level ranks, and therefore, though his lordship stations mighty, though stupendous be his brain, though her tastes are mean and flighty, and her fortunes poor and plain. Ring the merry bells and lordship, blend ye with warring wild, for the union of his lordship with a humble captain's child, for a humble captain's daughter.
What a gallant captain's daughter!
And the lord who rules the water!
And the tar who plows the quarter!
Let the air with joy be laden, and the songs the air of all, for the union of a maiden with a man who loves her love.
Never mind the why and wherefore, love can tell the ranks, and therefore, though you naughty congregation, in my set could scarcely pop, though you occupy a station in the lower middle class.
Ring the merry bells on board ship, blend the air with warbling wild, for the union of his lordship with a humble captain's child, for a humble captain's daughter,
for a gallant captain's daughter,
and the lord who rules the water,
and the tall
house of
water.
Let the air with joy be laden, blend the songs the air upon, for the union of the maiden with a man who loves her.
The Connecticut Gilbert and Sullivan Society is the subject of tonight's Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Maino, very pleased to be sitting with the music director, John Dreslin, who has been doing this for quite a while. We talked about the fact earlier that he's been involved with the organization for 34 years.
That's correct.
And and that's amazing for somebody that says, you know, you're what, just barely 50?
That's right, yeah. I started as as an early teenager.
Yeah, so. Well, maybe not. But at any rate, it's great that you've had this association and hope that it goes for many years longer. Well, let's talk about the production as far as how people can get tickets. We mentioned that it's on November 6th and 7th. There's a 2 o'clock matinee on the 6th and a 7:30 performance that night. And then on Sunday the 7th, another 2 o'clock matinee. How do they go about getting tickets?
Well, there's several ways to do it. We have a website that you can order tickets on. It's CTGANDS.org/tickets. So that's like, it stands for Connecticut GNDS.org. So CTGANDS.org/tickets, or you can call 860-554-1256.
Wow, you have a telephone number. That's just like... That's amazing. You can do it the good old-fashioned way. I have one of those flip phones. I'll call you on that and see if I can get through. And the performance is of a production that... Have you ever done this one before in all your 30-something years?
Well, actually, the Society, I think this is their third time doing it, but I have also done it with other groups, so this will be, I think, my fifth time performing it. So I've had a lot of experience with Roadrunner.
Now, were there about 15 or 16 Gilbert and Sullivan productions?
There was 14 altogether.
14. Okay.
One has been lost, Thespis, their first one. All the music was lost, except for two numbers. Rodegor is the 10th one. As I said, it followed Mikado, and it was premiered in 1887. And then it was revived again in 1921, and they made a few small alterations, including putting a new overture on it, because Sullivan didn't write the overtures for most of his shows. He left that up to his assistants. So I actually think the overture that was written in 1921 is much superior to the one that was used in 1887. And most recordings that you hear of Rodegor does use that overture, and it's the one that we will be using as well.
Okay.
So, a lot of people not familiar with Rodegor, so I'm going to sort of run through the plot and give you a little brief plot outline.
Yeah, it certainly isn't quite as famous as you mentioned, Pinafore or something like that.
Yeah, Pinafore, Pirates of Penzance, and Mikado are the most well-known. But for a lot of people, including our director, who is a fellow by the name of Dr. Spencer Reese, actually, this is their favorite Gilbert and Sullivan work. And a lot of people who do Gilbert and Sullivan regularly are of the same opinion. It is their absolute favorite. It's very well written. Music's great. It's a good time all around.
Excellent.
It's set in a small village on the coast of England, and it has two unusual features, this village. First of all, it has an encore corps of professional bridesmaids whose services have not been required for a long time, since nobody in the village seems to be getting married. And secondly, there's a nearby estate that is a home to the Murgatroyd family, whose oldest heir lives under an ancient witch's curse. And the curse is that he must do an evil deed every day or die in agony. Now, in this village, there is a young couple who are attracted to each other, the innocent orphan girl, Rose, and a local prosperous farmer, Robin. And it looks like they might actually get married and could use those professional bridesmaids. After all, if Robin can only get over his shyness and pop the question. And they have a very charming little duet called I Know a Youth, where Rose is trying to prod Robin into getting up the courage to ask for her hand.
Ah! lamb's a little bay. Hey, but his face is a sight for to see. Silent is he, for he's modest and afraid. Hey, but he's timid as a youth can be.
I know a maid who loves a gallant youth. Hey, but she sickens as the days go by. She cannot tell him all the sad, sad truth. Hey, but I think that little maid will die.
Poor little maid.
Poor little maid.
Poor little maid.
Poor little maid.
No. And he cannot sleep. Hey, but his face is a sight for to see. Daily he goes for to wail, for to weep. Hey, but he's wretched as a youth can be.
She's very thin and she's very pale. Hey, but she sickens as the days go by. Daily she goes for to weep and to wail. But I think that little maid will die.
Poor little maid.
Poor little man.
Poor little maid.
Poor little man.
No.
Offer her my name. Hey, but her face is a sight for to see.
If I were a maid, I should fan his honest flame. Hey, but he's bashful as a youth can be.
If I were the youth, I should speak to her today. Hey, but she sickens as the days go by.
If I were the maid, I would meet the lad halfway. For I really do believe that timid youth will die.
Poor little man.
Poor little maid.
Poor little man.
Poor little maid.
I have to admit, I have not seen this production. I'm not that familiar with it. So now you've got me intrigued here. We're getting ready to pop the question. That's where we left off.
Yes, that's correct. But all is not as it seems. Of course, it's Gilbert and Sullivan, right? And it turns out that Robin is actually the heir to the Murgatroyd family, who is the family living under the curse. And he has feigned his own death to escape the curse and has been living incognito. And only two people know about this. One is his faithful servant, Adam, and the second is his foster brother, Richard Dauntless. And just at this time, Richard returns from the sea and gives a boastful account of his exploits, followed by a lively hornpipe. So if you like to see people cavorting about the stage, this is where they really do some cavorting. So he comes in and tells his story, his sea story.
Thank you. shipped, do you see, in a revenue sloop, and off Cape Finisterre. A merchantman we see, a Frenchman going free, so we made for the bold Monsieur, do you see, we made for the bold Monsieur. But she proved to be a frigate, and she up with her ports, and fires with a 32. It come and near, but we answered with a cheer, which paralyzed the parley-voo, do you see? Which paralyzed the parley-voo.
Which paralyzed the parley-voo, do you see? Which paralyzed the parley-voo.
Then our captain he up, and he says he, that chap we need not fear. We can take her if we like, she is certain for to strike, for she's only a darn Monsieur, do you see? She's only a darn Monsieur. But to fight a French fellow, it's like hitting of a gal. It's a lubberly thing for to do. For we with all our faults, why we study British souls, why she's only a poor parley-voo, do you see? Why she's only a poor parley-voo. So we up with our helm and we scud before the breeze as we gives a compassionating cheer. Froggy answers with a shout as he sees us go about, which was grateful of the poor Monsieur, do you see? Which was grateful of the poor Monsieur. And I'll wager in their joy they'd kissed each other's cheek, which is what them foreigners do. And they bless their lucky stars, we were hardy British tars, who had pity on the poor parley-voo, do you see? Who had pity on the poor parley-voo?
Who had pity on the poor parley-voo, do you see? Who had pity on the poor parley-voo?
John, we have just a little time left to sneak in a little more music before we go to our next segment.
Well, let me pick it up. It turns out that Richard, who has just done his hornpipe and introduced himself, he also has hopes of winning the Fair Rose. And meanwhile, a group of men arrive from the city in search of love with the local farm girls, followed shortly by Sir Despard Murgatroyd, who is the younger brother of Robin, and because of Robin's deceit, is now living under the curse. And he comes in, scares the heck out of the whole cast, and tells how doing an evil day has actually transformed his whole physical appearance. So what we're going to hear now is one of these wonderful Gilbert O'Sullivan double choruses, followed by the entrance of the evil Sir Despard Murgatroyd, living under his curse.
We will listen to that, then take a short break and be back with more.
Thank you.
from Charles to Mueller to prettiness rural, the sudden transition is simply admission. Come and the ring is come glory and finish your space for the moment of we. Your slaves for the moment, your slaves are we.
The sons of the timid who dwell in this village are people of lovely degree, for honest and active than most, unattractive and awkward as all could can be. They're clumsy clodhoppers with axes and choppers and shepherds and plowmen and rovers and carmen, hedges and reapers and carters and keepers, but never a lover for me.
Connecticut Gilbert and Sullivan Society is a subject of tonight's Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with John Dreslin, the music director, and we've been listening to some excerpts from the show, and it's going to be presented on November 6th and 7th. We'll tell you a little bit more about that in a minute, but I want to get back to the flow of the program. John, tell us what's next.
Okay, Robin finally gets up the courage to ask Rose for her hand, and they appear on stage for their wedding celebration, which leads to a absolutely beautiful madrigal sung by the entire cast.
When the birds are blossoming,
on, we want to make sure everyone knows how to get tickets to this performance, which is going to be on November 6th and 7th. You have a website that they can go to, right, to order tickets?
That's correct. It's ctgands.org.
Okay, and then it's we go right on there, and you'll be able to order tickets there.
That's right.
There's even a phone number you can call.
And the phone number is 860-554-1256.
All right, and it's going to be a Saturday on November 6th, a matinee in an evening, and a matinee on Sunday. Make sure you support the organization. It's going to sounds like it's going to be a great program, and I want to try to get in some more music and keep the story flowing. So where are we now?
Okay, well, we've just celebrated their upcoming wedding. Everybody's ready to do the vows and what happens. But Richard, who has also been in love with Rose, decides to reveal Robin's true identity. And so now he has to turn evil and do an evil deed every day, so Rose can no longer marry him. And ends the first act. In the second act, we have a very dramatic scene where Robin's ancestors come down from their frames and come to life as ghosts and tell him that he better get to work doing his evil deeds or he's going to have some serious problems. And it turns out being a ghost isn't all that bad, that they actually party every night. And that leads into a very interesting solo by the last bad baronet of Rodagore, When the Night Wind Howls.
When the night wind howls in the chimney cows and the bat in the moonlight flies, clouds like funeral shrouds sail over the midnight skies. When the footpads quail and the night birds wail and blackbirds bray at the moon, then is the spectre's holiday, then is the ghost high noon.
Time flies when I'm with you with the Connecticut Gilbert and Sullivan Society. We have time for just a little bit of an ending. I want to thank you for coming in today and telling our audience about this great performance, and I encourage everyone out there to support the Connecticut Gilbert and Sullivan Society and this performance in November. So how are we going to wrap this all up?
Okay, we're going to wrap it up with a very famous fast trio where Robin decides that he is going to give up the curse and risk dying in inconceivable agony. But of course, this is Gilbert Sullivan, so everything is going to work out. Everybody's going to be happy. Everybody's going to be reunited. And so after the trio, we'll listen to the finale of the second act that wraps up the show in a very upbeat manner.
Excellent. Thanks for being here, John. And we'll see the rest of you next time on Conducting Conversations.
My eyes are fully open to my awful situation. I shall go at once to Roderick and make him an oration. I shall tell him I've recovered my forgotten moral tinted, and I don't get up and say money for any consequences. I do not want to perish by the sword or by the dagger, but the martyr may indulge a little pardon of a swagger, and a word or two, a compliment, but vanity would flatter. But I've got to die tomorrow, so it really doesn't matter.
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 So it really doesn't matter. Matter, 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 matter,
matter, matter, matter. If I were not a little mad and generally silly, I should give you my advice upon the subject willy-nilly. I'd show you in a moment how to grapple with the question and you'd really be astonished at the force of my suggestion. On the subject, I shall write you a most valuable letter full of excellent suggestions when I feel a little better. At present, I'm afraid I am as mad as any hatter, so I'll keep them to myself, for my opinion doesn't matter.
Her opinion doesn't matter.
Her opinion doesn't matter.
Her opinion doesn't matter.
Her opinion doesn't matter.
My opinion doesn't matter.
Her opinion doesn't matter.
Her opinion doesn't matter. Matter, 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 matter.
If I had been so lucky as to have a steady brother who could talk to me as we are talking now to one another, who could give me good advice when he discovered I was ailing, which is just the very favor which I knew I am conferring, my existence would have made a rather interesting ittle, and I mightn't live and die a very decent individual. This particularly rapid, unintelligible patter isn't generally heard, and if it is, it doesn't matter.
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 This particularly rapid, unintelligible patter isn't generally heard, and if it is, it doesn't matter. This particularly rapid, unintelligible patter.
When a man has been a naughty baronet and expresses deep repentance and regret, you should help him if you're able, like the Marcy in the fable. That's the teaching of my book of etiquette.
Having been a wicked baronet a week, once again a modest livelihood I seek. Agricultural employment is to me a keen enjoyment, for I'm naturally diffident and meek.
For he's naturally diffident and meek.
If you ask me why I do not pipe my eye, like a lovely British sailor I reply, that with Zora for my missus there'll be bread and cheese and kisses, which is just the sort of Russians I enjoy.
Which is just the sort of Russians you enjoy.
Prompted by a keen desire to evoke all the blessed calm of matrimony's yoke, we should build a love tomorrow from the sin of sin, and all of water settle in the tide of Basingstoke.
Prompted by a keen desire to evoke all the blessed calm of matrimony's yoke, we will build a love tomorrow from the sin of sin, and all of water settle in the tide of Basingstoke. Water settle in the tide of Basingstoke. We will build a love tomorrow from the sin of sin, and all of water settle, 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 settle in the tide.
Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.